From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. West Java track highest foreign investment among Java's six regions. Virus growth cut up to 9.7% of global economy. Now the news in details. West Java has drawn the highest foreign investment among six provinces in Java in the past 5 years, with totaling investment $22.98 billion. Coming second is Jakarta, attracting $17.89 billion of investment, Banten, $10.98 billion, Central Java, $8.82 billion, East Java, $6.04 billion, and Yogyakarta, $0.15 billion. Escorted by Antara Acting Deputy for Investment Control to the BKPM Chief, Farah Indriani, in a written statement released on Friday stated that indeed Java Island, particularly West Java, still holds special attractions for investors. After all, the BKPM will encourage equitable distribution of investment across Indonesia. The BKPM remarked that investment in regions outside Java clocked notable growth in the past 5 years and inching nearer to that recorded in Java. Foreign investment in Java Island until the third quarter of 2016 had reached $66.86 billion, while domestic investment amounted to 739.70 trillion rupiah, equivalent to $53.09 billion. Indonesian and foreign nationals seeking to enter Indonesia need to obtain a health certificate from the country of origin and undergo a COVID-19 rapid test or a laboratory-based test. As per circular issued by health ministers, all citizens, including Indonesian and foreign nationals arriving at each entry point, need to follow quarantine procedures and undergo additional medical checks. As stated by Antara, the medical checks include interviews, body temperature checks, COVID-19 symptom tests, saturation oxygen tests, rapid tests, or polymerase chain reactions PCR test. In addition, upon arriving at the entry point, both Indonesian and foreign nationals are required to adhere to the protocols for COVID-19 prevention and control, including keeping a safe distance of at least 2 meters from other people, wearing masks, and leading clean and healthy lifestyle. Despite a long border with China and a population of 97 million people, Vietnam has recorded only just over 300 cases of COVID-19 on its soil and not a single death. Nearly a month has passed since its last community transmission and the country is already starting to open up. Experts say that unlike other countries, now seeing infections and death on a huge scale. Vietnam saw a small window to act early on and used it fully. But though cost-effective, its intrusive and labor-intensive approach has its drawbacks, and experts say it may be too late for most other countries to team to learn from its success. Dr. Todd Palak of Harvard's Partnerships for Health Advancement in Vietnam in Hanoi said, "When you're dealing with these kinds of unknown, novel, potentially dangerous pathogens, it's better to overact." By early January, before it had any confirmed cases, Vietnam government was initiating drastic actions to prepare for this mysterious new pneumonia. Schools were closed for the Lunar New Year's holiday at the end of January and remained closed until mid-May. By mid-March, Vietnam was sending everyone who entered the country and anyone within the country who'd had contact with a confirmed case to quarantine centers for 14 days. Costs were mostly covered by the government, though accommodations was not necessarily luxurious. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The coronavirus pandemic could cut up to 9.7% of the global economy, the Asian Development Bank said on Friday, doubling its previous estimate as the virus stifles trade and leaves millions jobless. The estimated impact would cost as much as $8.8 trillion based on a range of scenarios, but ADB said government interventions could help offset the losses inflicted by the crisis. Up to 242 million jobs will be lost due to the virus, more than seven times higher than the employment losses seen during the global financial crisis of a decade ago. Foregone labor income could top $1.8 trillion, the Manila-based lender said these will be difficult to recoup, and warning it could not discount the possibility of a financial crisis if the pandemic was not contained quickly enough to prevent defaults and bankruptcies. The coronavirus has killed 300,140 people worldwide, according to an AFP tally based on unofficial sources. President Donald Trump has promised that U.S. will reopen, vaccine or no vaccine, as he announced a plan to deliver a coronavirus jab by year-end. He likened the vaccine project dubbed Operation Warp Speed to the World War II efforts to produce the world's first nuclear weapons. Speaking at the White House news conference on Friday, Trump said the project would begin with studies on 14 promising vaccine candidates for accelerated research and approval. Trump named an Army general and a former healthcare executive to lead the operation, Monshef Slaoui, who previously led the vaccine divisions at pharmaceutical giant GlaxoSmithKline, will lead the mission. While General Gustav Berna, who oversees distribution for the U.S. Army, is to serve as chief operating officer. Speaking after Trump, Slaoui said he was confident that a few hundred million doses of vaccine will be delivered by the end of 2020. Brazil's health minister has resigned after less than a month in the job, following disagreements over the government's handling of the country's escalating coronavirus crisis. Nelson Teich had criticized a decree issued by President Jair Bolsonaro allowing gyms and beauty parlors to reopen. However, he gave no reason for his resignation at a press conference. His predecessor was sacked after disagreeing with Bolsonaro. The far-right president continues to oppose lockdown measures. He has downplayed the virus as a little flu and has said the spread of COVID-19 is inevitable, attracting global criticism. Brazil has recently surged past Germany and France in terms of its coronavirus caseload, becoming one of the world's hotspots with more than 218,000 cases, bringing the official death toll to 14,817. Germany's economy shrank by 2.2% in the first 3 months of this year as the coronavirus pandemic pushed it into recession. Official figures indicate it was the biggest quarterly fall since 2009, when the country was engulfed in the global financial crisis. The figure from the Federal Statistics Office as Germany takes its first tentative steps to exit lockdown. Shops are reopening. Pupils will gradually return to class and football is restarting behind closed doors. At the same time, figures for the final 3 months of 2019 were revised to show a contraction of 0.1%. That means German GDP growth has been negative for two successive quarters, the technical definitions of a recession. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuku Kusumati. Welcome back, listener. News analysis for today entitling Asia's Improves Economy Opened, Pollution Back, and Political Tussles Returns. Thailand is preparing to reopen department stores and various business venues nationwide from Sunday, May 17, as the COVID-19 situations in the country continues to improve, according to the Centers for COVID-19 Situation Administration, CCSA. CCSA spokesperson Dr. Tawisilp Wisanuyotin said on Friday that further relaxation of the lockdown measures was necessary for the economy, but admitted there was concern about a second wave of the pandemic. From Sunday, department stores and community malls in Thailand will be allowed to resume operations between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. Restaurants and cafes in office buildings, as well as food courts, will also benefit from the further relaxation, although alcohol sale will be banned at the venues. Swimming pools will be able to reopen from Sunday as well, but venue operators are required to limit the number of users and duration of exercise. In Vietnam, where the success story to tackle COVID-19 without a single death could be the most other countries to learn from, already open up since April 23rd. People in Vietnam have resumed their daily outdoors activities and employees are returning to offices. Domestic flights and are picking up again, and a handful of provinces reopened grade schools in May. In Singapore, outdoor activities return and construction sites can resume work from June 2nd. Priority given to projects that follows new safety measures. Now, as countries in Asia cautiously ease their restrictions, traffic has returned to the roads and pollution is spiking. There were really marked reductions in air pollution across Asia, said Paul Monks, professor of air pollution at the University of Leicester, told the BBC. What they are trying to see now is a return to pre-COVID levels. Air pollution is not the only one back to the normal. Political bickering. Now gear up. In Malaysia, unresolved political drama simmering on the sidelines since the collapse of the Pakatan Harapan government as the nation focused on tackling COVID-19 now appears to be back in the spotlight. The upcoming one-day parliamentary session on Monday, May 18, will be the first sitting for Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin, Perikatan National Government, the informal coalition which took the reins in March. Former Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad fired an initial salvo in the first week of May by sending in a motion for a vote of no confidence against Muhyiddin. In Hong Kong, a police watchdog released a highly anticipated report about how the police handling democracy protests last year. The report said officers had acted within the guidelines but called for a review of the use of tear gas. The Independent Police Complaints Council IPCC also found no evidence of police collusions with gang members during a 21st of July mob attack at a train station in Duen Long District. The report has been welcomed by the territory's leader, Carrie Lam, but the oppositions and human rights group have dismissed it as a whitewash. Listener, that was News Analysis for today. I'm Nika Kasamawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's news from across the country, coming from Surabaya, East Java. The November 10 Institute of Technology ITS has developed 25 research and innovation that can be utilized to help overcome the COVID-19 pandemic. ITS counselors Professor Muhammad Ashari, in a web seminar on Thursday, said that there were many products that were successfully developed by ITS to help deal with COVID-19. The result of research and innovation include Raisa robot, hand sanitizer, face shields, hazmat shirt, mask, sterilization booth, swab booth, emergency ventilators, ultraviolet robots. The Raisa robot is currently being used at Erlangga University Hospital both in the intensive care unit ICU and high care unit HCU. This robot can operate for up to 8 hours and be controlled remotely using Wi-Fi internet. It can carry out a maximum load of 50 kilograms, including medication and goods needed by patients. Next information comes from Depok, West Java. University of Indonesia, in collaboration with industry partners, is ready to produce 1 million devices for the COVID-19 swab test HS19. Universities of Indonesia's counselor, Professor Ari Kunchoro, in his written statement on Thursday said, collaboration of higher education and industry was absolutely necessary in dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic situation. He said the synergy had succeeded in creating HS19, which had been produced as many as 50,000 units in the first batch and had been submitted on Thursday, May 14, 2020, to the Doctors Network of the University of Indonesia's Medical Faculty of the 1995 class to be distributed to various hospitals in need. Before it was produced, the HS19 prototype has passed the testing process of the microbiology laboratory to ensure the product was safe for use by health workers and patients. The latest news comes from Bandung, West Java. A collaboration of researchers from Pajajaran University UNPAD and the Bandung Institute of Technology ITB regenerates innovation for handling COVID-19 in West Java province. West Java Governor Ridwan Kamil in Bandung last Thursday said UNPAD and ITB succeeded in producing two types of test equipment outside of the PCR and rapid test. Ridwan Kamil said this tool is different from the normal rapid test because it does not use a blood test but a swab test. He said the device is planned to be produced in June as many as 5,000 test kits by Biotech in West Java, and the next 50,000 productions will be carried out in July. UNPAD and ITB's research also produced a new PCR test tools that does not require examination in the laboratory, but rather on a laptop with a power supply such as a motor battery that can produce 8 samples. Listener, that was news from across Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history with Youth Congress throughout Java was held on May 16, 1945. Before the Investigation Committee for Preparatory Work for Independence was established on May 16, 1945 in Bandung, West Java, Youth Congress throughout Java was held, and this was initiated by Indonesian young generation. The Congress, which was attended by more than 100 youths and students throughout Java, called on the youths in Java to unite and to prepare themselves in a bid to implement proclamation of the independence, which was not a gift from Japan. The Congress resulted in two resolutions. The first one was that all Indonesian groups, especially youths, were united and tied with a national leader, and the second one was that the implementation of the announcement of Indonesian independence was accelerated. The next event is that in 1975, Junko Tabei, the first woman, reached Mount Everest. 22 years after the achievements of Edmund Hillary from New Zealand and Tenzing Norgay from Nepal became the first two men to set foot on the summit of Everest, on May 16, 1975, Junko Tabei, a mountain climber from Japan, succeeded to be the first woman who was able to reach the highest mountain peak in the world. She climbed through the southeast line. The peak of Everest is on Himalaya Hill, which is located at Nepal and China borders on the height of around 8,850 meters. The last event is that in 1995, Shoko Asahara or Matsumoto was arrested. On May 16, 1995, Shoko Asahara, a leader of the misguided sect Aum Shinrikyo in Japan, was arrested by the police of the state. The sect became police fugitive after the sect was proven as the perpetrator of a chemical bomb attack on the Japanese subway, which killed 12 people and injured 5,000 people. In 1984, he and his wife began yoga teaching class and got followers. In 1986, Matsumoto went to India, and there he recognized that he got revelation when he was meditating on Mount Himalaya. After going back to Japan in 1987, Matsumoto changed his name to be Shoko Asahara and developed a religious class which was named Aum Shinrikyo, that means the truth teaching on creation and destroying nature. And listener, that was today in history.
Cinta itu datang, ku rasa bahagia di hatiku menatap indahnya bintang memberi harapan yang baru. Ketika kaki melangkah berdebar rasanya di dada, namun senyum yang terindah selalu membangkitkan jiwa.
Still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia, entitled Government Issues Regulation to Restore the Economy. The Indonesian government officially issues a special regulation regarding the implementation of the National Economic Recovery Program, or PEN. It is in the framework of supporting state financial policies for handling the 2019 coronavirus disease pandemic, or COVID-19, and was signed by the President Joko Widodo on May 9, 2020. Head of the Ministry of Finance Fiscal Policy Agency, Febrio Kacaribu, in a video conference in Jakarta on Wednesday said, the regulation provides legal certainty for the government to be more active in carrying out policies, at least reducing negative impact of the spread of the new coronavirus. It stated that, among other things, the governments may carry out state's capital participation, placement of funds, government investment, and guarantees for the National Economic Recovery Program. Aside from these four things, the program can also be implemented through state expenditure. Funds can be sourced from the state budget or other sources in accordance with statutory provisions. The government can make state capital participation to state-owned enterprises, SOEs, and/or COVID-19-affected SOEs subsidiaries. In addition, the government can issue government securities purchased by Bank Indonesia for PEN financing. The government will also place funds in banks for the restructuring of customers' loans affected by COVID-19 through the placement of funds in 15 participating banks that function as liquidity buffer against implementing bank. The government regulation states that the criteria of participating banks include assessment of the soundness of the banks by the Financial Services Authority. The implementing bank is a commercial bank incorporated in Indonesia, operates in the territory of Indonesia, and at least 51% of its shares are owned by Indonesian citizens and or Indonesian legal entities. In making policies, the Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs and related agencies formulate and determine strategies for implementing national economic recovery, including in setting priorities business sectors affected COVID-19. That was My Indonesia. I'm Nukuk Sumawati.
Sabar aku menunggu, mungkin sudah hampir seminggu. Kehadiran dirimu, oh itu yang aku mau. Kau dengan problemamu, ingin melepas rindu. Aku di sini pun tak sabar untuk memeluk. Gairah bersama malam ini aku dan kamu, malam ini kita menyatu, merasakan hembusan dalam setiap nafasmu. Berikanlah aku rasamu, beritahu apa yang kau mahu. Kita ciptakan malam penuh cinta.
Yeah, why don't you lay back? I put this music on playback. Be in the moment, but you know we go way back. But keep it high heels, girl, when I kneel, I wanna know how the stars within your thighs feel. Your clothes are dry, but I know you're soaking wet inside. You wanna ride, yeah, I know you want me deep inside. It's just you and I, no menage a trois. 1+1=2, and that's me and
you. Gairah bersama
baby, let's get it on like the Marvin Gaye song. And let me see that thong like the Cisco song. Cause once I turn you on, there's no turning back. I'm like Don Corleone, ain't no one above that. Ain't no one above me when it comes to loving you. Your pleasure comes first and I'll come after you. You know that you're a gift sent from heaven 24/7. When I'm off the stage, I'm yours. And let me set the mood. And let me set the mood while you play with my flute. And I'll be watching you, telling me what to do. Maybe you can tell me how you want it to be. Talk to me, girl.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Radio Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Indonesian wonder. Today we are going to let you know Dodol Betawi. Listeners, Idul Fitri is almost celebrated. Although the atmosphere of Ramadan and Idul Fitri this year is different from previous years due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But for Betawi people, Dodol Betawi is a special food that must be served on Idul Fitri. The serving of Dodol Betawi as a snack on Idul Fitri can also be the symbol of the social status of the host. The dodol texture, which is chewy and sticky, has a philosophical meaning of togetherness and friendship. Making dodol Betawi is still a tradition in welcoming Idul Fitri. One of the goals of the tradition of making dodol Betawi is to strengthen friendship among relatives and neighbors, because in the process of making the snack requires cooperation. Listeners, making dodol Betawi cannot be done by everyone. The process is complicated, causing only a few people who are truly experts who can make it. In the process of making it, the woman who makes dodol must be in a holy and clean state, because it is believed to be able to influence the taste and peculiarities of the dodol Betawi. Ingredients to make dodol Betawi are sticky rice, brown sugar, granulated sugar, and coconut milk. The shelled coconut is then shredded to get coconut milk. Then the sticky rice is pounded to make flour. All ingredients are put into a large wok called kawah. Then the mixture is cooked 8 until 12 hours without stopping using a wood stirrer called gelo. When making the dodol, fire from firewood must be maintained so that it does not overheat and emit smoke. If the fire is too large, it will make the dodol burn and cook unevenly, while the smoke absorbed in the dodol can make the taste bad. Then the cooked dodol is poured into a tray or tampah to be cooled. Afterwards, the dodol is cut into small pieces and wrapped. Now the dodol is ready to be a special snack during Idul Fitri. That was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Dodol Betawi. Tomorrow we'll meet again with other interesting topics. See you!
Hari demi hari telah ku lalui, hanya menunggu dirimu. Nada demi nada telah ku nyanyikan lantunan melodi jiwaku. Langkah demi langkah telah ku jalani, tuk gapai cintamu padaku. Kata demi kata telah ku tuliskan puisi cintaku. Telah ku nyanyikan lantunan melodi jiwaku. Hanya dirimu yang aku cinta, hanya dirimu yang aku sayang. Tiada yang lain di hatiku, selamanya hanyalah dirimu. Selamanya hanyalah dirimu. Ternyata kamu juga cinta, cinta.
Well, listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Miscellany. Today we will inform you about Heritage Tourism Webinar, recommends 5 World Heritage Sites in Indonesia. Stay tuned. During a period of large-scale social restrictions, the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy calls on cultural tourism lovers to get to know 5 cultural-based World Heritage Sites in Indonesia. The event through the Heritage Tourism Webinar was held on May 14, 2020, during the COVID-19 epidemic, which the government restricted travel to tourism attractions while the outbreak is still ongoing. The 5 cultural-based World Heritage Sites are the Borobudur Temple Complex, the Prambanan Temple Complex, Sangiran Archaeological Excavation Site, the Bali Subak System as a manifestation of the Trihita Karana philosophy, and the ancient Ombilin coal mine in Sawah Lunto. Cultural heritage is one of the main reasons for foreign and domestic tourists to travel in Indonesia. Since the COVID-19 epidemic has attacked Indonesia, the people are restricted to travel. Thereby, a tour through a webinar was held. This webinar is expected to be able to get to know cultural values to the community, which can support economic, social, and environmental sustainability. Not only being a participant, the tourists are expected to transfer knowledge from the webinar to wider community through social media. The event also conveyed storytelling techniques through social media, such as ways and methods that are able to share travel experiences and attract people to visit them. Deputy of Tourism Products and Organizers of the Tourism and Creative Economy Agency, Rizky Handayani, said that the narration built through good storytelling is expected to be able to provide good education to the community, improve the visiting experience, and build curiosity for people to visit these sites later. In addition, from this webinar, it is hoped that the public can pass on the information they obtained about 5 cultural-based World Heritage Sites to wider community through social media. That was Miscellany for today. See you next time.
Dalam hatiku, ku mau kamu.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. In today's edition, we'll present a keroncong song entitled Indonesiaku. Indonesiaku is a keroncong song whose lyrics describe love and pride of homeland Indonesia. Why not? Indonesia is a blessed land which is rich and beautiful. The beauty of the archipelago is like a string of pearls by the writer of the song. The archipelagic country is green and its people have high cultures. Anybody will be proud as national youth and grateful to its natural wealth. Listener, here is Yayuk Haryono with the keroncong song entitled Indonesiaku.
Tanam menghijau subur,
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.